My text is in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and verse 13. Now, we have been looking at the character of Moses and the faith of Moses. Now, although Joshua is not named, he's obviously here. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. That's a statement. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, we have been considering men and women of faith, and we would dearly like to believe that we who are here in this morning service are amongst those people who could be regarded as being in what we have described here in the gallery, in God's gallery of faith. That whatever detail there may be in our lives, of our abilities or the lack of them, of our wealth or the lack of it, our strength or the lack of it, whatever it may be, that we might be known as a person of faith in God, and that in all our doings and in all our lives, that would be the estimation of ourselves. And in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, we are given a list. Some are well-known characters, others are not so well-known as all that. They're known in Scripture, but they are not people who are leading people. Others are, mostly they are. It is a chapter about personal faith. But as we have gone along, we've also seen it's a chapter where we see the preservation of Israel and how this little family, and they were a little family, and how they were preserved and how they were kept. You can well see in the New Testament the meaning of that verse, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. And it seems so often that the future of God's church was held by a thread. Would Abraham have a son? There's a thread there for you. There in Isaac, the problems that there were there too, what would happen with the disturbance in that family, and how angry would one son be with another? Then Jacob, would he prevail with God? And would he have a son who would survive and carry on the work? He lost that son who would, it seemed to be. And yet God, by strange means, preserved Joseph, using even the enemies of people to preserve him. And then we have Moses. The peril of the little children, or the male children of the children of Israel. Yet this one was hidden in some kind of little cradle in the bulrushes of a river. And there detected by, of all people, an Egyptian princess. Well, you would have said, now he's in trouble. But he was not. And she brought him up as a son. And then we have this long time, don't we? Until we have the story of Moses, between Joseph and Moses. And then we have Joshua. And we come to Joshua today. But look at those names again. Abraham is also described as a friend of God. Can you think of yourself like that? A friend of God. We include Sarah, his wife, of course, because she is mentioned. And Isaac was a man where the grace of God, the gentle grace of God, was very, very evident. Jacob is regarded as a prince in prayer, where he prevailed for the people of God. Joseph, well, I would say a man of a very fine and a very excellent spirit, despite anything that came against him. He bore no grudge. Whatever his brothers had done to him, he bore them no grudge or had no evil to say against them. Moses, how shall we describe him? As a man who pursued God. He couldn't be satisfied with less than the glory of God. And Joshua, we come to now. Shall we have him by the own description that God gives him here, a spiritual man and a man of great courage? He was both a deeply spiritual man and a man of great courage. So we come to him. And Joshua was greatly honored. He was the one who would be allowed to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses would not enter that land. He brought them out of Egypt. He was their leader for the 40 years in the wilderness. Yes, they came often. They came sometime near to the land of promise, but they somehow did not enter in for various reasons. And then when he came to the time of almost leading them in, he is told by God that he would not lead them in. And I often wonder, you know, how he felt. Do you think about things like that? I often felt about, you know, Robert Murray McShane. What a lovely spirit he must have had, where he longed for revival in his church, and he worked for it, and he prayed for it, and he labored for it. And then he went on a campaign to Israel, and whilst he was on a campaign in Israel, revival broke out in his church with another minister. Well, it doesn't matter, does it? But I wonder how he felt, first of all. I'm sure he felt, well, I'd like to have been there. I don't know. I'm sure there must have been enough generosity of spirit. But how did Moses feel? You see, he brought them out of Egypt in order to bring them into Canaan. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 49, get thee up unto this mountain, says God, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that it is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. He says, have a good look, climb this mountain, and behold the land of Canaan. This is the land I've got for my children. And I'm sure that Moses' heart is beating faster than anything. A time must nearly be ripe. And die. I wonder how he felt. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died, and was gathered unto his people. Was it a why then? Well, the answer is given. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go hither into the land whither I give the children of Israel. And we know that there was a disobedience, one sin in his life, where he showed a bit of presumption, or rather almost anger, in the life of Moses at one thing. And it may be for that, but however, whatever it was, he was told he could look at the land, he could see it, he was told that they would enter into it, and I think he would be enough of a spiritual man to rejoice that the people were going to enter in. I think that would make him greatly happy, because he was going to cross another Jordan. And he was going to cross not only another Jordan, but enter the Canaan of heaven. So in one way, he didn't miss out. But although he would not cross this Jordan, as it is put quite precisely, thou wilt not cross this Jordan, but he would cross another Jordan. He will not enter this Canaan, but he would enter another Canaan of God. Now, it is then the honor for Joshua, a man of valor and spirituality. You see, this is a wonderful thing about the scriptures and about the people of God. And in our Welsh hymn book, we have a lovely hymn. It says that the servants of God come and they go and others take their place. You know, the right way of things in this pulpit or whole, in the gallery, in the vestry there. It's right. It's right. Each one fitting in his place, each one doing that which he should do by the grace of God. And so we go to, I felt a little sad about Moses. I thought he took them out of Egypt, and that was a struggle. And I felt, oh, well, he could have just got to the other side of Jordan. He could have just got there. But no, God allowed him to see and to know all he needed to know. And God is always wise, and God is always right. So now we have the character of Joshua. So shall we first of all consider his consecration? What do we learn of this man? A long time ago in the history, in his life, spies are sent out to seek out the land of Canaan. And they brought false reports. Not just he was the off-putting bit. They said it was a land of giants and fierce warriors and I don't know what. And scared the children of Israel. But Caleb and Joshua were faithful. They brought a true report. Let me read you some verses from Numbers 32, verses 11 and 12. Surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham. Just imagine those who came out of Egypt, that they wandered in the wilderness all their lives because of their disobedience and their sin and one thing and another. Which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. That's why. There were incidents, weren't there? They did. You know the history of the children of Israel. And the disobediences and the grumbling and the mumbling and the murmuring and all these things that happened in the wilderness. You know, they could come out of Egypt. It was an awful job to get Egypt out of their system. And they murmured a great deal. So those people that left, which were above 20 years of age, would not be allowed to enter. Mind you, their children would be quite grown-up people. Say Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. There will be two exceptions. Caleb and Joshua. And this is the reason. For they have wholly followed the Lord. That's the reason. It's a simple reason. Because they were faithful when they went to spy out the land. And they brought a true report. When I'm sure a great deal of pressure was put upon them to bring a false report. But they were able to enter into the land. Because they had wholly followed the Lord. And that God had observed them in that way. As he observes us. And whether you and whether I am wholly following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Joshua is God's choice then. You cannot argue with God. You cannot argue with the wisdom of God. So God instructs Moses and tells him what to do. Not only is Moses not allowed to enter into Canaan, he's allowed to see it and to know that the children of Israel will enter into it. Yet the punishment is such that they who are over 20 and were responsible for their disobedience in the wilderness do not enter. Yet there is a multitude that will enter, plus the two faithful ones, Joshua and Caleb. See what Moses has to do. In Numbers 27, verses 18 and 19. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. How important it is that when we choose men for anything that is to do the things of God, that they are men filled with the Spirit. Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. See, spiritual things are powerful things. Not only is he not even to consider disappointment, or any criticism of God, or any why not me, he's allowed to see the land and to know that the children are going, but he must also not only know the man who will replace him, but he must declare him before the whole congregation as the man that God has chosen and put his hand upon him in blessing, that he has a blessing of Moses, as if that's representing the blessing of God. God is very thorough. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. This then is confirmed in Deuteronomy 31 verses 1 to 8. Where Moses then spoke before all Israel. And this is what he said. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. He says the Lord has told me that. See how absolutely exposed Moses is. This great man. The Lord has told me that I will not enter. I will not enter. And Joshua shall be before thee. And this is what he says then. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. Nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He's able to say that from past experience. How many of you are able to say that to your children from past experience? He is the Lord, hath not failed thee, nor forsaken thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give to them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. He's open about it. You can see there's a note of enthusiasm in the words. The Lord has said he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, he will not forsake thee. Don't be afraid of the opposition in Canaan. You are the one that will fulfill for these people the inherited promise that shall be theirs. And the Lord, he it is. Beautiful, isn't it? And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Strong words, aren't they? He it is. He it is that doth go before thee through Jordan and into Canaan. He will be with thee, will not fail thee, will not forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. What a wonderful commission. What a wonderful consecrated life here that receives a commission from God. It's a wonderful thing. Why does God choose him like this? For one simple reason, because he wholly followed after God. May I ask us here, myself included, do we do that? Do we hold back? Do we strike a rock twice in impatience sometimes, as Moses did? Do we sometimes cry in impatience to God? Is our trust implicitly in a sovereign God? In prosperity or adversity, when things seem to go right or when they seem to go wrong, that we got a greater faith than our circumstances, that our faith is in a sovereign, active God, completely. Well, Moses was very good. But God was so particular. He said about Joshua, thou hast wholly followed after me. We with a Savior, Jesus Christ, we with a grace we know of in the New Testament, how is it that we hold back? How is it that the things that are involved in the life of a church, how is it that, say, on a Sabbath evening, that we are not so concerned if we really believed we'd bring somebody with us? Oh, we would. We can't always do it. I know I'm being sensible about that. But you know, if you really believed in hell, if we only had for one split second, if you could bear it, the anguish of hell, we would. We would. And we might say, well, I've tried. Is that all you'll do? We continue. If we are wholly given to God, and when you're asking, they know that you are people who are wholly given to God. It's a simple requirement. But you know, if heaven is true, and it is, and if we're going to glory, and if that is our real life, then anything in this world truly is but a shadow, real as it may seem. And if those promises of God are true, nothing should stand in our way in promoting spiritual things and the things of God. He found two, Joshua and Caleb. The commission itself, Joshua recognizes a new leader of Israel. Now God speaks to him. Now it's a great task. Moses has been speaking to him. Now what has he got to follow? He's got to follow Moses. Do you remember how bothered Solomon was when he had to follow a king like David? It isn't easy. If you have to follow somebody that has been greatly used of God, and Moses, remember, don't just put that fact that he didn't go into Canaan and hold that against him. Think of the faithfulness of that man's life. Think of how he forsook all the pleasures and the joys of things for a season in Egypt and chose the affliction of the people of God. Bear all that in mind as well when you think of Moses. Bear that. Not an easy man to follow. He had authority with the people. He'd see them through many difficulties. And Joshua would wonder, well, can I cope like he coped? He's been told that the God that helped him, Moses, would help Joshua also. And there was the people themselves. He'd hear in the background things that Moses wouldn't always hear. Moses would knew they were murmuring and grumbling. And of all the sins, you know, that's the one that God detests. But Joshua would have heard what they murmured. And that's a terrible thing. He would know the kind of things they were saying. And so you would wonder, well, how will I cope when they are murmuring against me? And then there was Jordan. Well, it was all very well. It was a great and dramatic thing to leave Egypt, and he could see how God would understand that. But Jordan, this is deep river, not a wide, but a very deep river. Well, how shall I cross that? Will he do it? Will I have the faith to believe? He'd ask questions like that. And in the possessing of the land, there are great walled cities. We know there's Jericho. There it is in sight. Only count that little hill of Mount Nebo, and you can see all the battlements and all the walls of Jericho. How do this kind of nomadic people, how do they inherit a land with cities like that? Questions. Like a person says, would I be able to live the Christian life? Would I be able to cope with sorrows and afflictions and difficulties? Would I be able to have the quality, the caliber that my father's house had? Let me remind you of the verses I read. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Fact, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. No nonsense about it. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. Remember Jeremiah? Nervous little Jeremiah. He was terrified of preaching, so God just tells him, just instructs him. He doesn't say, all right, I'll let you off. He says, do not be afraid of their faces. And he had to go on. You see? And the same here. He says to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. And so he says to him, arise. And go over this Jordan. Just as if it was, you know, go down the road. And go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. It's a clear command, and it is coupled with a promise that he will do it. Well, what happens? Well, I'll not read you all the verses, but just a little glance at them. Well, this is what he says to begin with. He can see the terror in this man's heart. And so he gives a promise. And what a promise! What a promise if you could have this for the fair land of Wales today. And for England, the island of Britain, the lot. What a promise. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Everywhere you tread, everywhere you go, I am with thee. And everywhere you go will be thine. It will be God's property. Claim him back. Imagine the land that we are living in. It was once a land of revival. A land admired and loved and in great esteem throughout the world. Yes, little tiny country. Not famous for military things or anything like that. But famous for visitations from God. But today, the territory is lost. What shall we do? Well, you might say we need a Joshua. Or we need the faith of Joshua. And that we inherit the land that God has promised to his people. You think like that? Are your prayers that big, or do you think, well, I want to learn about the Christian view on this and the Christian view on that, and what should Christians do regarding this, that, and the other, making little daisy chains, instead of seeing a people perish and go headlong into hell? How can we play and debate when we have to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ and cross the Jordan of our unbelief and enter into the promises that we can claim from God? There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's the promise. Only, he said, these are the conditions. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. How many churches today are dispensing with their pulpits? Many, many, many. How many are disregarding their Bible and just having stray words that come to their minds? Many, many, many. What is the condition here? Keep to the book, the inerrant, the inspired, and the infallible word of God. Keep to this glorious book and its contents regarding the souls of men and women and their salvation. Turn not from it to the right hand to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. What did Paul say? I have not known anything amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now, those are the conditions he gives in the commission of God to Joshua. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. How many times did he say that to him? And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And you know the picture. When the ark got up, and this lovely procession entered into the depths of the water by faith. By faith. And so God was faithful to his promise, as he was to Moses, so he was to Joshua, as he was in the crossing of the Red Sea, so he was in the crossing of Jordan, and they entered into the promised land. Now, the conviction of this man. Do you remember a verse that was quoted last Sunday? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Fathers and mothers, what about it? As for you and your house, we will serve the Lord. What about young couples? I think perhaps the most difficult time is when a person has just got married. It is so easy not to go to the things you used to go. So easy to get involved with your houses. Nice little houses, all right. Make your mind up now, because you'll never make it up later. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Opposition. Jericho. A city enough to strike fear into the hearts of men and women. Jericho. A walled city. They lived in tents. A walled city. How were they going to cope? There it was. Yet they are told beforehand, I'll give thee Jericho. That's the remarkable thing, you see, about the servant of God, that he is told, you see, in the same strange way, I will give thee Jericho. Jericho will be thine. Be wonderful if he said today to us, I will give thee Wales, I'll give thee Britain, Europe, as far as you like. I'll give thee. But he begins, like Mr. Fraser, he prayed for seven. I will give thee Jericho. And so they had to do something very odd. For 6 days they marched round the city. Silent, terrifying thing. But on the seventh day, they go seven times, and then the trumpets sound, and the people had to do a very ordinary thing, what most people can do, shouts. So they shouted. It happened. The walls of Jericho fell. And the victory was theirs. Now, why is this taught to us today? Because there are Jerichos in the Canaan of the Christian life. If you have crossed the Jordan, and let that be your conversion, as some people make the Red Sea conversion and Jordan blessing, it doesn't really matter what figure you use. Sometimes Jordan is a crossing from this life into death. It is a figure that you can use. You can use it in many ways. But let us take it now that the Canaan is the Christian life. We're going to come across some Jerichos. We're going to come across an eye and make our mistakes too. So we come across as Jericho. How do you cope with Jerichos? Great wall cities in your life. Great wall cities of besetting sin. Great wall cities of don't you touch that part of Sunday, I want it for myself. Great wall cities, don't you touch my weakness because I can't give it any of that to God. Great walled cities. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We war by faith. It is a remarkable thing. But it isn't the faith, you know. It's faith in a sovereign, active God. It isn't the faith that moves. It's the one in whom we have faith. It's God that moves. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Many a Jericho. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You may suffer from pride and knowledge and think you're special or something, or whatever it is, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, every Jericho, into the obedience of Christ. And the walls will fall. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength, and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life, and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its path before thee lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on thy guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust, and thy trusting soul shall prove Christ is its life and Christ its love. Faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changeth not, and thou art dear. Only believe, and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. Let us be like Joshua, that we were found to be holy for our God. Let us pray. Our gracious and our heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing. Pray, O Lord, that these few words may be to thy glory and for our help, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.